Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Monday, January 6, 2014. Well, one of C.S. Lewis's first published works was a collection of poetry published under the pen name of Clive Hamilton. Lewis, who died the same day as John F. Kennedy on November 22, 1963, as well as his poetry and prose, have been significant influences for tonight's guest, poet D.S. Martin, whose latest collection of poems, Conspiracy of Light, pays homage to that influence. Don will talk to us tonight about his work in a few moments. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to Forever Rain from John Bauer's Roots of Worship CD.
You are good, you are good, when there's nothing good in me. You are love, on display for all to see. You are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin. You are peace, when my fear is crippling. You are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, in you death has lost its sting.
Now to our interview with D.S. Martin. Good evening, Don.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Well, let's go back to the beginning for our listeners and give a little background on you. When did your interest in writing begin itself?
Well, I suppose I probably had that in me all along, but I would say one of the biggest inspirations was when I was at college. I took a creative writing course as part of something I was doing. I was actually taking a radio broadcasting course and had started to become interested in writing for radio. And then when I took a creative writing course, it kind of secured in me that that was something that I had a passion for.
Well, when did the poetry start coming?
I would say probably in the 1980s, I would say, which would be, you know, shortly after that time. I mean, I've been interested in writing in various forms for a while, but poetry is something I seem to be the thing that came through strongest for me, the thing that, should we say, rang true for me the most strongly.
Well, when you were doing that, and when you were starting to develop your poetry and that, who were some of those early influences?
Well, early influences, I read a lot of Canadian poetry. I think it's interesting that in literature, we as a country do have our identities, you know, our some amazing Canadian novelists and poets. So we do have an independent streak there from the Americans. I was interested in people like Leonard Cohen, Raymond Souster, Alden Nowlin, who's from St. John, New Brunswick, a wonderful poet. I really loved his stuff. And then as time went on, I began, you know, expanding my palette. A number of people, particularly Christian poet Lucy Shaw, I had been interested in her work before, but really started ringing true for me. And, if people are familiar with Lucy Shaw's work, they just know just what an amazing poet she is.
Well, when you were doing that, and often I find that as people are starting to develop their writing styles and things like that, some of the stuff they do is very similar to the people that were influencing them.
True.
When you go back and look at some of your early poetry and that, which voices were coming through the most for you in terms of some of those influences?
You know, I can't really say I had a particular poet that came through like that. I know exactly what you mean. A lot of people are very influenced by specific poets or specific writers. I found that I was reading fairly broadly, and therefore I was a little freer to pick and choose from all over the place and find what worked for me and what didn't, to experiment. You know, some poets I was reading were very experimental, some more traditional, and I would try to find things in each of them, the things I liked. I wasn't so much focusing on anyone's particular style, but basically looking for the things that spoke to me.
You mentioned there in when you were listing Leonard Cohen, and I think a lot of us sort of think of Leonard Cohen more as a musician, but it's the poetical quality of his lyrics, and then how they stand alone even as poetry that is very influential. When you're looking at things like that, was music a part of all of what was going on with you as well?
Well, prior, you know, in my younger days, like when I was a teen, particularly. Well, even well beyond that, actually, music really was the starting point. I've always been someone who loved music, and good lyrics of people such as Paul Simon or Bob Dylan or Joni Mitchell, you know, those are the people that I was drawn to. And I think that that's probably a sign that poetry was a natural next thing for me. Ironically, I wasn't into Leonard Cohen's music until well afterwards. You know, more drawn into it from reading his poetry and then going back and checking his music out, which is pretty backwards when it comes to Cohen.
Yeah, well, and looking at that, you're mentioning, you know, Paul Simon and Joni Mitchell, and that not only are they good lyricists, but they're storytellers.
Yes, that's true.
And did that come through with your poetry as well? You wanted to be more of a storyteller with your poetry?
I wouldn't say that's a dominant feature, Robert. I'd say, I do. For example, the first book I put out was a chapbook, and it was written all about my grandparents who'd been in China. So those particular poems have a much greater narrative quality to them than some of the other things I've done. But I have written quite a number of poems that are narrative in their format. But I wouldn't say that that's a dominant thing with me. I mean, some fine poets, for example, John Terpstra from Hamilton, he does a lot of narrative-type poetry. I have a fair variety in my work. Some is much more lyrical, some is narrative like that. So I wouldn't say especially so, but that's certainly an influence.
When did C.S. Lewis come in as an influence?
Well, long before I ever thought I'd be a writer, long before I ever thought I'd be a poet, when I was in my teens and 20s, I basically grabbed anything that Lewis wrote, and I bought a copy of it, and I read it, because I found he was so influential for me. I found that he was so successful in so many different genres of writing and different spheres of influence, and he was also very true to his faith in Christ. So I would find a man so respected, and when I read his work, it spoke to me in an intellectual way that so many other things didn't. So I was really drawn to his writing, and it wasn't until years later, coming back to it, that I was inspired to begin working with his ideas and stories and such to produce poetry.
Well, I want to explore that a little bit further, but before we do, we need to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with our guest poet, Don Martin, and I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Out, then begin to doubt it was ever there at all. You forgive, not forget. What a mess bursting in my chest, like all the times I've known before. Like all the times I've known before. I screamed out loud, your crown. bloodstained town.
You'd stand still, overcome with what I'd done. The words came out of fear, were always there to make you bleed. Only when my world was threatened, overwhelmed, couldn't see the right way out, did I ever feel the need? Why?
Back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Losing the Ground from the Isabel Gunn CD, Losing the Ground. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with poet Don Martin. Don, you've looked at your latest work as Conspiracy of Light, and it's a collection of poetry that was inspired by Lewis, and you said, you know, you sort of came back to that later. Not a lot of us know that Lewis, some of his earliest published works were poetry. Give us a little bit of background on Lewis the poet.
Well, first of all, Lewis's main desire for success was to be a poet. I have to admit, I don't think he was a great poet, although I really like a number of the poems he wrote. I think in his nature, well, first of all, he was amazing in the sense that he absorbed everything he read. And we were talking earlier about the influences that I've had. I would say one thing, Lewis was extremely influenced by whatever he read. If you're familiar with his writing, his space trilogy, the third book is nothing like the previous two because he had been reading Charles Williams, and he was so taken with Charles Williams that basically the third book in that trilogy is a Charles Williams book written by C.S. Lewis. He was very influenced by things around him, and he had an amazing capacity for absorbing it. It was said by one of his friends that anything that he thought at any time was present in anything he said at any time, something like that. And I'm maybe not getting the quote exactly right, but this is so true. He just absorbed so many things. So as a poet, he was very, very much imitating other people from the past. He was also a man of the past in that sense that as poetry was changing so much in the early 20th century, he wasn't going along with it. He was stuck in the past. Another thing about that is he was often trying to convince people of something or win an argument, which doesn't really work in poetry like it does in other forms. I would argue that one of the reasons why his poetry doesn't endure as much as, you know, as some poetry does is the exact same reason why so much of his other writing did endure, and that's the fact that it was his timeless quality in a lot of his novels, in a lot of his apologetic works. There was this timelessness in it, but he wasn't aware of the times in which he was writing when it came to poetry. He didn't understand the modernist movement at all. I mean, and again, he wrote some fine poetry, but it certainly wasn't his strength. He wanted most of all to be a poet, but ironically, he became famous as a novelist, as a Christian apologetist, as a literary scholar. But he never became extremely famous as a poet because, again, that just wasn't his strength.
Well, and even when he did publish his poetry, I mean, his first collection was published under a pen name. So he wanted to separate that element of himself from what the other things he was doing.
Yeah, I'd say so. Although that was his very first piece of published work was his poetry, and that was well before he became a Christian. So,
yeah.
It just did not receive any attention at all because it just wasn't as developed in its form as so many of the other things he wrote later.
Now, looking at Conspiracy of Light, your own work, you say it's inspired by C.S. Lewis. How did Lewis's work inspire the works you have in Conspiracy of Light?
Well, as I began rereading all those Lewis books that I'd read in my youth. Well, a couple of things. First of all, it struck me I was so surprised to find out that so many things that I thought were things that Lewis had planted in my mind. things he'd said, which I'd absorbed and personalized. So that was amazing to me. But the main thing I think that inspired me was Lewis had such a strong ability to use analogies. Whenever he wanted to make a point about something, talk about something spiritual, which of course is hard for us to envision living in a physical world, he would always throw an analogy out, just quickly throw out an analogy. And his analogies were so good. So what I started doing with some of those is just taking one of his analogies and running with it, just pushing the metaphor and seeing where it would go and having some fun with it. Sometimes it would be very obvious that I was making the same point Lewis was, and sometimes it would just be playing with the image and letting whoever wanted to find out where it came from go from there.
Well, I know when I was reading Conspiracy of Light, that was one of the things that I was challenging myself to do is to try and figure out where this was coming from in terms of Lewis's works without looking at the notes that you provide in the back for those of us who can't figure that out.
Well, I put those in the back not so much that the poems need them. I don't think that's true. But I put it there because I really wanted to direct people back to Lewis. That is, if they read something in one of my poems and they thought, that's an interesting idea, you know, and they were reflecting on it, then they'd be able to go further and find what Lewis subject and then go much further with it in some other direction. Because, of course, I'm not trying to make prove anything in my poetry. I'm just trying to present things. Lewis often was trying to prove things, but he not even at times, you know, there's lots of different things he was trying to do and very successful at doing in his writing.
Well, can you give us an example of one of the poems that is in Conspiracy of Light that kind of does this for us?
Well, let me read a poem called Thirst, and it the very first line the first eight words come from Lewis himself, and he was making a point at the time that when we find a desire in ourselves that we don't see the fulfillment for around us in our world, then it is a hint to us that perhaps we were made for some other world. That is, all the desires in us have been placed in us in order to be fulfilled. So I'm going to, this is much more lyrical, and plays around with the ideas, but I think you'll get the idea. This is called Thirst. Thirst was made for water, inquiry for truth. Raindrops were made for roots. Roots were made for soil. Soil for life. Life for glory. Raindrops were made for glory. Listen. Roof drumming, eaves dripping, look, glisten, sunlight catching, luminous liquid, inexpressible proof of something, spoken by growling skies. Skies were made for glory. Wings were made for skies. Feathers for wings, among other things, such as sheltering and beauty, but mostly for the glory of soaring. Water was made for skies. And rain, for trickle, for gurgle, for rivulet, stream, creek, and river, for puddle, pond, lake, and ocean, for sip, for swallow, for swim and sail, submerge and drown, for hiding, inquiry, and eventual discovery, a sparkling glass of truth.
Well, thank you. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take one final quick break on that, and we'll come back and we'll finish up our conversation with author D.S. Martin and poet D.S. Martin, whose Conspiracy of Light is his latest work. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
You would think that we were done, but it ain't.
kisses and you name us, and you make morning of our night. Cause you make cosmos out of chaos, you made heaven out of dust, you made wine out of water, you make something out of us. And you make light shine in our darkness, you make life.
Connection. You've been listening to Something Out of Us from the Love Was Here first CD by Carolyn Ahrens. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to finish up our conversation with Don Martin. Don, looking at that and listening to that poem and looking at the influence that Lewis has had over the years, why has Lewis become such an influence within especially the evangelical community?
I would say because he didn't come with the idea of, okay, I need to tie up everything in a nice, neat ribbon. You know, I need to make everything fit. If it didn't fit, he would only strive to make something fit if it did. I think so often within Christianity, we think we need to have the answer for everything. And I often find in Lewis, at least at times, that he'll admit when he doesn't know why something or something doesn't make sense to him. But he was also such a deep thinker, and he had such respect for God, for faith, and he worked it through using his intellect. He was so well read, and he had thought through so many things so deeply, and in a way that other people hadn't, because he came to Christianity in a way that was so different from most people. I mean, coming from atheism, coming from a love of mythology, you'd think those would be the last things to draw you towards faith. And yet, with the help of J.R.R. Tolkien and other friends, Lewis was drawn to faith because of how the universe makes sense, how things that he had held dear in his heart, which a lot of the time we write off as meaningless, he saw the meaning in them and saw that they pointed straight to Christ.
And I think that's one of the things about poetry, and both his and yours, is that you don't have to have the answers. They can ask the questions and leave it open to, and as you said, you put the notes in there so people can, if something tweaks in one of the poems, they can search out further into what Lewis was writing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What are you hoping that people are going to come away with as they finish up reading Conspiracy of Light?
Well, I do hope that as people read, they will... Well, two things, really. Well, there's always many things, but one thing is just the poetry itself, that they would have an appreciation for poetry, because I believe poetry is a gift that we often neglect. But if we embrace poetry, then I think we're much more equipped to embrace so much of other things that God has given us. I mean, so much of Scripture is given to us in the form of poetry. And I think there's reason, well, I know there's reason for that. It's not just what was conveniently at hand for him, but knowing that you read poetry different than you read other things. It also opens you up to reflecting and meditation. And in our busy, busy world, I'm afraid people don't have time for poetry. They don't have time for spirituality. They want everything now. And I think poetry does have a gift of teaching us to slow down, to think, and to think about what matters. Another thing, obviously, I'd want people to get out of it is C.S. Lewis, just so much of what he had to say, his thoughts. And, of course, I also want to encourage people towards faith. I want to encourage people of faith towards poetry and people who like poetry towards faith, because I think those things are very compatible with each other. But I believe that God has given me this calling to be a poet, and that I'm to use it for his glory, not to proselytize, but simply to, as you were saying earlier, to ask questions, to get people thinking, and leaving things for people to meditate upon that have value.
So where can people get a copy of Conspiracy of Light?
Well, here in Canada, it's available through Amazon.ca, so you can get it there. Or if you happen to live in the GTA, I have been reading at various venues, and will be returning to doing that again in the new year. So you could check my website, which is dsmartin.ca, and you could find out about when I may be reading if I happen to be in your area. So there's a couple of possibilities anyway.
Great. Well, Don, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, D.S. Martin. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at www.selawministries. That's www.selawministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries. That's selawministries.ca. Or follow us on Twitter at Selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.